God be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. In ancient Israel, no disease was more dreaded than leprosy. And the fate of lepers was hard, painful, miserable, and disastrous. The leper was considered by everyone as an outcast and treated as such, as someone who is unworthy of God's blessings and favor. Lepers were very, very lonely people. As the first reading from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is, I think, the third book in the Old Testament. It's filled with laws, do's and don'ts. These are the codes of holiness back then. You know, when you read the book of Leviticus, you kind of shake your head and say, "What?" But if you think deep, you will realize that we are actually not different than the people of that time. How many years are we talking about? Thousands of years ago. And the book of Leviticus that we read today gave the prescription on how lepers should behave and how the rest of the community should behave towards them. Lepers were required to quarantine themselves outside the camp. Does that ring a bell to you? You are excluded just right there. So a leper is expected to quarantine himself outside the camp, meaning outside the community. He's expected to keep his rented garment, because, of course, the garment has been contaminated by leprosy. And he is excluded from the community, from his family, and from any religious gathering. Can't even go to a marketplace. He's expected to, you know, shave his hair, and if he happens to walk on the road, to scream, "Unclean, unclean, I am unclean, stay away from me, I am unclean, I'm unworthy." worthy of your contact. Brothers and sisters, this was the faith, the miserable condition of the leper we read in today's gospel, until he met Jesus. Both Jesus and the leper broke the law. The leper was not supposed to approach him at all. Was supposed to keep his distance. And Jesus was not supposed to touch him. By touching him, Jesus will be rendered unclean himself. Ritually unclean, socially unclean. And he himself has to quarantine himself too. What gave this leper the audacity and the temerity to approach Jesus? I was asking myself this on Monday when I was reflecting on this gospel. And I said, it has to be that somebody must have told him about Jesus. He must have heard, because this is a man who is excluded from the community, excluded from the family, excluded from the society, excluded from the temple. And the worst thing you can do to an ancient Jew is to say to him, you can no longer come to the temple. You know, today we take these things for granted. People say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, which means absolutely nonsense. People, you know, when it comes to going to church, they leave it to their mood. They wake up in the morning, okay, I feel a little bit good, I will go to church. They leave it to their convenience. When I have time, I will go. But back then, you, to say to a Jew, you are forbidden, banned from going to the temple, is to take his life away. To take a Jew from his family is to take something precious away from him. The time of Jesus was a deeply family-oriented generation. And yet this man was excluded from all of that. Somebody must have told him that there is a man called Jesus of Nazareth who welcomes sinners, who is a friend of everyone, the rejects, the abandoned, the prostitutes, the neglected, the ones that society look with disdain. He welcomes everyone. He cures the sick, he raises the dead, he reforms lives and makes the lame walk. And this probably gave him that courage. His fear was substituted by faith. And he approached Jesus. You know, if you sometimes read this gospel, this gospel, and you see how, because this gospel gives us a foundation on how to approach God. If you can't read any other passages in the Bible, read this gospel. The gospel said he approached Jesus. Right there you see courage, defiance. I don't care what the law says. I'm going to break it. And he came to Jesus. The next thing he did was he went on his knees. Total surrender. Yielding to him. Right there, he recognizes that Jesus is not just a Nazarene. He's God. And I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to surrender to him. I will show him that I believe in him. What else did he say? He said, if you will, you can make me clean. Who told him that? Who told him that Jesus had the power to make him clean? And of course, the gospel said Jesus looked at him with pity, compassion, mercy. And Jesus said to him, you bet. I want you to be clean and be clean, because this is the reason why I came, to make life better for people. And Jesus touched him before he said to him, "I do will it. Be clean." Why did Jesus touch him? He didn't have to. He didn't have to touch the man. There are so many instances in the gospel where Jesus healed people merely by the spoken word, by the power of the spoken word, called rhema in Greek. He doesn't have to touch him. And he knew there were Pharisees around watching him. And the Pharisees know the law. Every law, every prescription of the law, they know it, they have it on their fingertips. Jesus knew they were watching. And he knew he wasn't supposed to touch him. Yet, he touched him. Why did he touch him? I asked myself that question. He could have said to him, "Be clean. Just go." But I believe that by touching him, Jesus was dramatically, sensationally demonstrating that this man is not the unclean one. He's not. He is not the unclean. The unclean are all those people who looked at him with disdain and showed him no compassion. All of those Pharisees who were judging him. And you know, one other thing is that lepers were considered as people being punished by God. If you have leprosy, the calculation and the conclusion is that you are being punished by God. And we don't want to do anything with you, because if God rejects you, then we can accept you. And so Jesus touched him. Right there, affirming his dignity and self-worth. Affirming his integrity as a human being. Jesus touched him, showing that this man too is the Son of God. He is a child of God too. I came for him. And I'm sure as they were watching, they were expecting Jesus to become unclean. But you see what happened? The old law says, if you touch a leper, you are made unclean. When Jesus touched this man, Jesus was not rendered unclean. Rather, the man was made clean. Right there, you see the divinity of Jesus being portrayed once again. That this Jesus of Nazareth, he's God. He's not like a regular Jewish scholar. He's not like everyday preacher in Israel. He's different. And after that, Jesus gave him another law, which he too broke. Jesus said to him, "Now you go, don't tell anyone, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices prescribed by Moses. That will be sufficient for them." Back in the day, before a leper can be restored into the community, he had to show himself to the priest. And the priest would have to examine his skin and now issue him a certificate of restoration. The priest must examine him and ascertain that his leprosy is gone. His skin is clean. He is free from the skin infection, and now he can return home. But there is a different and a deeper and spiritual interpretation you can give to this. When Jesus said to him, "Go show yourself to the priest." Why a priest? Today we can say, go to church. Go to church. When we willfully commit sin, who restores all back to the sacrament? Jesus, through the instrumentality of the priest. Go to church Jesus said to the man, go show yourself to the priest. A newer interpretation today is, go to church. Why the church? Why do we go to church? We go to church so that we can receive the sacraments, hear the word of God, receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The Eucharist, as you hear me say in the past, is the means through which we are Christified. We become more like Christ. We receive him to make us clean. You know, the other day I was saying here that, you know, people who come to communion, and I said, I'm never going to do that again. When you come to communion, wear your mask and give me your palm. There are few Catholics who insist that they have to receive communion on the tongue. I hope they read this gospel. Because I have had conversation with them in other parishes, I have gone to say mass. And they believe that if you receive Jesus on the palm, you defile him. And I said, no! You do not defile Jesus. None of us can defile him. The leper, Jesus touched the leper, and everyone was expecting him to be rendered unclean, to be stained. Instead, the leper was healed. Jesus was not contaminated. Jesus was not defiled. We receive him not because we deserve him. We receive him so that he can make us clean. And for those who don't know how to pray, this gospel gives you at least a platform, a method of prayer. Not too many people can pray for a lengthy time. I remember when I was growing up, when my mom is leading in prayer, everybody would be begging, be praying to God to touch him to stop. Many women are like that. You know, they pray and pray and pray. The man wants it brief and short. I don't have anything against praying lengthy. If you have the charisma to pray lengthy, that's fine. But don't ever think that you have to pray long. Look at the people who came to Jesus. In every instance, it is always a short prayer. It is not the quantity of time spent in prayer that counts, but the quality. If it is just 1 minute or 5 minutes, be disposed for it. Prepare for it. Don't pray in a hurry. I believe that this leper must have prepared himself, put himself in the mood of begging, realize that he's approaching the divine. And Jesus saw that through him. Short prayer, if you will, you can make me clean. He didn't demand, he didn't command Jesus, he did not insist, he did not, you know, stamp his feet on the ground, he was not angry. He recognized that Jesus, it is all in his power. And he asked for it, and Jesus agrees with him. Lord, bless my family. Lord, save my children. Lord, heal me. Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Short but powerful and impactful prayers. Brothers and sisters, none of us here is a leper. We don't have leprosy. And leprosy doesn't threaten us as it did back in the day of Jesus. The only thing bothering us today is coronavirus. But what leprosy does on the outside is what sin does on the inside. What leprosy does in the physical is what sin does at the spiritual level. Just as leprosy causes the expulsion of a man, anyone who contacts leprosy is excluded and isolated from the community. Sin does the same it isolates us from the flow of God's grace and from the community. When we commit sin, the book of Genesis talks about the beginning when God made everything. In the beginning, the world was filled with wasteful chaos, watery chaos. It was a wasteland of nothing, called in Hebrew tohu va'abohu, watery chaos, disorder. There was no order at all. And the book of Genesis said that when the Spirit of the Lord, the Ruah Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord began to hover over the sea, he began to bring order into creation. And God made the heavens and the earth, day, morning, and night, and all of the story of creation. Whenever we sin, we are bringing back tohu va'abohu into our community, into our lives. We are wired to God. And when we sin, sin brings disorder. That's why there's nothing like personal sin. Oh, it's my sin. It doesn't concern you. No. And that's why Jesus gave us the sacrament of confession and reconciliation. Just as the priest restores a leper to the community, the sacrament of reconciliation reconciles us with God and the people of God. And that's how we get back into the faith. And so there is a relationship here, or similarity, between leprosy, what leprosy was doing to people back in the day, and what sin does to us today. There is no difference. Just as the leper had to go to Jesus to be cleansed, we too have to come to him, constantly coming to him. And never ever believe that God will be tired of hearing from you. The worst sin is not committing sin. The worst sin that you can commit is convincing yourself that God is incapable of forgiving you. That is actually the worst sin. Never ever think that God is tired of hearing me. I have been confessing the same sin. Keep talking to him. Or say to yourself that I am unworthy. Jesus said, I came not for the healthy, but for the sick. If you think you are sick at the spiritual level, you are precisely the one that the Lord is looking for. You want to keep standing. You want to live an upright life. But you take one step forward and you find yourself taking three steps backward. And you want to be frustrated. You want to give up. You want to say to yourself, you know, I don't think I can ever change. This is the way I am. Don't do it. Keep going to him. You cannot defile him. You cannot contaminate him. You cannot stain him. He came in order to make us clean and whole again. The moment you give up, that's the moment the enemy smiles. That's the time the enemy is happy, because he now got you where he wants you to be. Every one of us here, including me, we are unclean. Unclean at the spiritual level, unclean at the emotional level, unclean at the physical level, unclean at different levels of life. I am unclean myself. When I was preparing this gospel, I stopped and I said, Lord, I am the unclean one. Make me clean. Say that prayer every day. Don't listen to all the praises people say to you. You are a good person. You are a wonderful person. You are a prayerful person. You are a holy person. You are very upright. You are honest. You are sincere. Ignore all of that. We are all unclean. And it's by coming to Jesus that we become clean. And may the Lord cleanse us from inside out today, even as we listen to his word. Amen.